continued on in our study in Ephesians. Today we're, again, as I mentioned, the sermon title is One in Christ. So our passage, our main passage is Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. So I'm gonna break that down a little bit for you. So we'll start Ephesians 2, 11 through 12. Then we'll go to Romans chapter 2, verses 26 through 29. Colossians 2, verses 11 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. I'm going to hop back over to Ephesians for verses 13 through 22. That finishes out the passage, and then we'll go to Colossians 1, 15 through 23. Isaiah 28, 14 through 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. The Bible has a lot to say about unity under the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, there's no difference in the color of your skin, your biological sex. None of that's different in Christ. The world tells us different. The Bible tells us what God thinks, what God says, what God says on the matter. What God says on the matter rules the day. It rules the night. It rules the past, and it rules whatever future we have left into eternity. We stand on the inerrant Word of God. That's what we're called to. Those that would cause divisions amongst us, there's scriptures on that too. What we're to do when people cause divisions amongst us, division amongst the brethren. There's a seriousness when it comes to applying scriptures to our individual lives and into our lives as holistically as Christ's body, the church, that we've become too flippant about. That we don't put enough attention to, because what it drives us to in our study is not our own sinful selfishness. It points to something greater outside of ourselves. We want autonomy. That's the whole deal of it, right? Since the fall, since Adam and Eve in the garden, we want autonomy. That was the lie of Satan. He says, you eat of that fruit and you're going to be just like God. That's what he's afraid of. That was the temptation, right? We want to be masters of our own destiny, right? That we have control. I'm here today to tell you, no, you don't. And there's only two ways. There's a narrow road that leads to life everlasting, to salvation and life everlasting. And then there's a broad path that leads to death. With all the variances and what the world's trying to tell us, that's the very broad path. This hyper-grace movement that has infected the church. I can live any way I want to, because I got grace and I got mercy. Well, that's just two of God's attributes. You know, God has anger and God has wrath. And God has commandments. And if any man wants to see long life, to live, to enter into his kingdom, we have to obey his commandments. We have grace for when we stumble. But stumbling is not an excuse. Stumbling is a stumble. That you will continue to wallow in your stumbling. We can't do these things. So, let's dive in. One in Christ. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Now that therefore is very important. Anytime you see therefore in the Bible, go back and read. Because it's giving you a condition ahead of it and the remedy after the therefore. Reading in context. Remember, well, we covered this last week. It's the first section of chapter 2, grace through faith, right? That we were all once lived in the passions of our flesh. That's in verse 3 of chapter 2. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace. Nothing you did. So that tosses that idea of the self out the window. You belong to one or two. You belong to God, or you belong to the devil. And there is no third option. There is no, I don't believe. There's none of that. You may think there is, but there is none of that. The remedy for fallen man is the word of God. The remedy for fallen man is Jesus Christ himself. Because it's only through Jesus Christ that we'd ever be able to stand before the Father. This is what it's talking about in Ephesians chapter 2. We were all enemies. He's talking to the Gentiles in this passage that I'm reading right here, but we, even the Jews. Think about it. When he was, before he ever went to the cross, he went up and looked out over Jerusalem and wept. Wept for. What's happening today in our nation? We should be weeping for our nation. We should be praying for our nation. We should be praying for individuals. Because by the grace of God, we're one with the Son. Adopted into the family of God, which means without God, you're an orphan. You're an alien, an orphan. But through what Christ did, our adoption into the fold, into the family of God, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And that's what we should be crying out today. Abba. Father, see what's going on and give us the strength and the power
to speak into our generation. Because what is happening is unrighteous. It's hate. It's not what you called us to. You called us to be different. You called us to be like your son. One in Christ.
Remember, verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Each and every one of us, alien. Each and every one of us, the chasm that can only be filled by the mighty hand of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Now this is passage talking about God's judgment and the law itself, right? The Jews thought they were clean because they were God's people. They were circumcised, and they seemed to observe God's law, right? So, starting in verse 26, it says, "So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." It's in and of itself, and you see it played out in the Old Testament. How many times God judged the nation of Israel because they had a form of religion, but denied God in the process. They thought through ritual, through habit, they'd keep themselves all right with God. But denying the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your everything. It's not ceremony. Christian, the church is not a place you go. You are the church. And we're going to get into that really good in this passage in Ephesians. Everywhere you go, Jesus should be shining. Everywhere you go. Now's that time for self-reflection, is it? Do rooms change when you walk in? Do the words you speak to a stranger or an enemy, is it seasoned with salt? Is it edifying? Do you return hate for hate? Go on further. Right versus left. When you speak, is it seasoned with salt? Is it showing the light of Jesus Christ? Are you being a city on a hill? And these petty, minor differences here in our short little time span? Are they causing division? Or are they enabling coming together, being a peacemaker? Are you either for God or you're against God? Let's not drag politics into it. Either you're for him or you're against him. And if you're for him, then you're going to be meek, you're going to be humble, and you're going to shine the light of Jesus. Everything with grace, with mercy, trying to understand. All the while giving them the gospel. We have a strange addiction of commingling that in this time. Jesus and politics. Jesus, what? We don't live a Jesus plus life. We're to live a life like our Savior. Allow worldly things to influence our walk with Christ, we're stepping in the wrong direction. We're slipping off the narrow path. It's all Christ. All. He bled out. He was beaten more than any man. Crown of thorns in his head. Beard ripped out by hand. For you. That's oftentimes why the church is failing so much. We want to bring worldly things into a gospel matter. But God says we're all one in Christ. One. And I've pounded this. We're to reprove one another. We're to exhort one another. When one of us is wrong, come to me. If I'm wrong, come to me. That's how you love me, the way Christ loves me. If you see me struggling, come to me. That's the demonstration of Christ loving in you. You don't let somebody fall off into the pit. That's not showing the love of God. The same love that He showed us. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Same track, starting in verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. All of your trespasses. Let's just keep going. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Now, how does that happen? He laid his life down. He's the good shepherd. He laid his life down for his sheep. And we're to lay our life down for one another. Greater love have no man than this, that he lays his life down for his brothers. All one. Christ. To see what's going on right now, it makes me sick to my stomach. Without a right view of who God is, you can't look at another image bearer of God and love him the way God loves him. And we've got that whole prayer of the Pharisee thing going on. Thank God I'm not like that person. Wrong. Wrong. Do you know that there's no difference in sin? Sin is sin. You lie, just as bad as the murder. No difference. So who are we to cast judgment that way? Hope I'm making sense. I'm just emotional today. Sorry. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. Those subsections in your Bible, it should probably read repentance and forgiveness. Maybe something different, but this is what this section is about. What was the first thing Jesus said when he came out of the desert from the temptation? Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The message has never changed. Starting in verse 1. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which you have set before you, and you call them to mind, all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice, and all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If you're outcast or in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you. And from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. Now, this is Old Testament. And you have to take it and the promise now, the new covenant promise. that if we love him, we obey his commandments. And then that the gift is eternal life. And what's Jesus doing right now? Ruling and reigning. Until what? All his enemies are footstool for his feet. One in Christ. One. Isaiah chapter 1. We've been through this passage before. I'm going to keep hammering on it. Isaiah 1 starting in chapter 1 starting in verse 11. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I've heard enough. I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls and lambs or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He had a change. When he prophesied right there to the wickedness going on in Jerusalem and Judea, that same wrath and anger is coming again. Repent. Repent. Learn to do good and seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless and plead for those cause. I don't see an awful lot of that going on right now. A whole bunch of pointing fingers. And what you do when you point fingers is that's the Pharisee's prayer. Thank God I'm not like that guy. Instead of, Lord, have mercy on me, a wretched sinner, undeserving of your mercy, undeserving of your grace. Thank you. And help me to show others that same mercy, that same grace. Every man wants to die. You're not escaping it. No matter how much you try. Let's go back to Ephesians. Love that. that even in the passage, in the opening of Isaiah, though your skin, your sins be scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Pointing to Jesus. Pointing to the finished work of Christ. So, let's continue. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. What did God command? What? Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all reading something different?
No.
Verse 3.
Starting in verse 13.
That was Colossians, sorry.
Oh, okay.
That's next.
Yeah, that'll be next. Let me read through again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. What happened there? The ushering in of the new covenant, right? Because before, God commanded the Israelites, you don't mix with the pagan nations. You don't bring them in. You don't take their gods. You don't marry. You don't intermarry, because it sets you apart. Right? But Jesus comes on the scene. And the very promise that he spoke to Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And children will be as the sands of the sea, innumerable. All finds its fulfillment right here in what Christ has done. Bringing down the wall of hostility. All one in Christ. By abolishing the law of commandments, expressing ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Man, is that not relevant right now? And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. One in Christ, one spirit. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household. Built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. All those heroes of the faith that we often read about. We read about the apostles and the Old Testament prophets. We're part of those stones. when we're in Christ, we're part of those stones building up that temple. So just like Peter, just like Paul, I can find my identity in Christ. Not me. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if you indeed continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's the greatness of God. That's the love of God. What was Paul before he was converted? A Jew of Jews, man. Hated Gentiles. And guess what? He uses the Jew of the Jews as one of the main church planters from out the area of Israel. A lot of the church grew off of Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. Isn't that crazy? If we have Christ in us, what's keeping us from the petty differences that set us apart in this society? Why can't we go down roads we don't normally go? Why can't we go into communities that we don't normally go? Why can't we go and worship with others, with other image bearers of God? Should be no reason. Society tells us one thing, but I'm not worried about society. I'm worried about what the Word of God says. Too. We don't concern ourselves with the foolishness of this world, because it is going to fade away. It's going to be burned up. Gone. Only those in Christ shall stand. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28 really quick. this coolness right here. Check this out. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have an agreement. When the overwhelming whip passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am the one who is laid as a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line. And hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters overwhelm the shelter. Then your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, you will be beaten down by it. It's a wonder. Hindsight is the key for us. But it's a wonder that this word has stood. They had it. In fact, Jesus goes into his own town, pulls the scroll of Isaiah, quotes it, and sits down in Moses' seat. And he wanted to kill him then. They had the word. We have the word. If we don't live it out, we're just as foolish as the Pharisees. And we'll have a form of godliness, but lack the power thereof. We don't live it out. We don't apply it to every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. Family. Work. Relationships. Business. Every area of our lives, there's application in the Word of God. What we don't like is because it tells us to do things a certain way that we just don't want to do. But how can you claim allegiance with Christ if you don't do what he says? How can you claim being one of Christ, one in Christ, if you don't obey his commandments? Very clear on this. Then he's not the cornerstone. He's the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. Because we want Jesus plus. We want Jesus plus what we want. And Jesus said very clearly in the beginning of his ministry that if any man wants to come after him, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. And it looks quite a bit different than what we see in modern day Christianity. In a lot of the churches across our nation, we don't see that. This is not an indictment. This is not passing judgment. But we'll be known by our fruit, right? Each and every one of us will be known by our fruit. You're either producing good fruit or you're not. There's no halfway fruit. So turn with me to 1 Peter. I'm going to wrap up. Chapter 2, starting in verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Uh-oh. Do I have to go like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. What did we just read in Isaiah? Chosen. Precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Be holy, for I am holy. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. So, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. One in Christ. We love him. We obey his commands. If we say we love him and do not keep his command, we lie. And the truth of Jesus Christ is not within us. We covered that last week. Let's finish out 1 John. To overcome the world, right? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? All one in Christ. No difference. All under his name. Oh. If we love him and keep his commandments. We don't muddy the word of God up to soften sin. Stand on the plain truths of God. Where we get this confused is we think the world will accept us if we just speak that truth. But the world rejected Christ. It's going to reject us too. He told us so. They hated me first. They're going to hate you. still carry a sword. This sword. And you speak His truth plainly. People often get confused with those Beatitudes when it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes to make peace, you got to go to war with the enemy. And our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not. It's time that we get in prayer for all, not just our community, but for the world itself is madness. Something that happened in Minnesota caused riots in Europe. What kind of craziness? What kind of craziness? No love for God. No love for the image bearers of God. That's the problem. And it's a problem on both sides of the spectrum. We want what we want. We don't want what God wants. God, help us to know what you want. And we've read it quite clearly in here. That we give mercy, that we do justice, we defend the oppressed, and we plead the orphan and widow's cause. I can't assume that I am one in Christ if I don't do what He commands. I can't just say His name. James has something to say about that. It's a good thing that you can acknowledge there's Jesus Christ. Devils do too, and they tremble. I don't see a lot of trembling going on from the supposed people of God with all of this craziness going on. Called us out into His marvelous light. We need to pray for the other churches around this area that clear words be spoken from the pulpit. Get centered back on the gospel itself and not self-help. And not philosophy. We're to call out sin. We are to use the law of God to call out sin. Not just to call out sin, but point to the remedy. Give them the gospel. Everyone that you think you'd be opposed to. The ones rioting in the streets. The ones that hijacked the rainbow. The ones living in sexual sin. Period. How can they know if they're not told? They can't. And it's our job to go, therefore, into all the world making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. bunch of buildings that look like Willy Wonka in a chocolate factory trying to draw you in and not doing the clear work of the gospel. Go therefore out into the world. Let's not sit in your building and wait for them to come. Living in Field of Dreams. This is life or death. And we need a right view. We were just as much an enemy of God as those lost people out there. Just as much an enemy of God. Just as worthy of hell. Somehow we get self-righteous in the mix. Why? Because we don't get in the Word enough. And we don't pray enough. And we want to take our little favorite verses and make our own little gospel out of that and not read the rest of it. Because then if we would sit and read the rest of it, it would call us to action. It would force your hand to the plow. This nation needs, what this state needs, what the world needs is the all-powerful, life-changing love and gospel of Jesus Christ. Because outside of that, nothing changes. Just the simple fact of His saving grace, you being an enemy. Know that you were an enemy of God. If it wasn't for His great grace and His mercy and the power of His Holy Spirit, get in your heart, showing you that you needed a Savior. You're just as hell bound as the next person. Do you understand that? Yeah, but you often sit back and think about that. Just ponder. Oh, what grace is this? That you look down the corridors of time. Encourage you with this. We'll close. That to be one in Christ is doing all that Christ did, even if it costs you your life. Don't believe me? Look at the martyrs that are being slaughtered across the world. Even if it costs you. Would it be like Him? And we can't be one with Him if we don't just do the basic things that He did. We can't fool ourselves. So, Lord, thank You for this time to be able to come together, Lord, to study Your Word. Lord, ask that Your Holy Spirit rests with us. Lord, that the words that were spoken today, that is written on the walls of our heart, that we don't look at others through our human lenses, but the lenses of Christ. And point them to salvation, the only salvation, the salvation that comes from You. Everywhere that we're placed this week, it's a gospel moment. And it is a moment to show the love of Christ in this crazy, messed up time that we're in. Strengthen us, Father. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit's power. Open our ears, Father. Open our eyes up, our minds up, our hearts up to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit this week in all that we do. Because only through your power that we're able to do anything. We thank you, Father, for your saving grace, your mercy. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you let your love shine upon us. Lord, give us the strength to go be the light in our community. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen.